Do you like action films? Okay, raise your hand if you do. Raise your hand if you don't. I like action films. So there. No. I like movies that have a quick-moving story, have believable characters, have seamless acting, and great special effects. The kind that either don't look like special effects or look so cool that you think that they have to be special effects because it just couldn't happen that way. And some of my recent favorites of action films are The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. You can either nod or smile or give a like, yeah, woo-hoo, you know, if you like it, or a boo if you don't, I guess. Skyfall, The Dark Knight Rises, The Amazing Spider-Man. Here's one that usually doesn't get the great response. Men in Black 3. The Hunger Games? Yeah. And I have to admit that any movie with Jason Statham is one that I'm going to see. Those movies are not necessarily great movies, but I'm going to see it. I'll look for any movie that he is in. I like the excitement. I like the tension, the anticipation of what comes next, and the spectacle in the films like that. And I also like that they make me think. Not all action movies make you think. Sometimes they aren't. But these in particular do. Each of them, in addition to having visuals and audio that keep me glued to the screen, they usually have a story that keeps my mind spinning and churning and wondering about all the unanswered questions. And for those of you who are thinking from the beginning of this sermon that The Hobbit was so slow in the beginning, does that count as an action film? The answer is yes. There's a whole lot of story development at the beginning, and it wasn't quite the glued to your seat variety, but it was worth it when you got to see Gollum. Just saying. Who has not seen The Hobbit yet? You can see the whole movie, but it doesn't get great until the last 40 minutes. And the first 2 hours is story development. It's not a short movie. Anyway, it does count. This week's Bible reading also counts. It recounts, actually, the events of Jesus' life, like his baptism. And it has all the makings of a great action film scene. See, Jesus' baptism is an event. It's with the event that inaugurated his ministry as an adult. It's recorded in all four Gospels, and there aren't a whole lot of events in Jesus' life that are recorded in all four Gospels. Now, that said, you heard the description this week, right? You have it memorized? How many of you were listening during the Bible reading? How many of you have to admit that you were thinking of something else? That happens. This week's reading is a little heavier on the story development side. And then there's some missing verses. How many of you noticed that? There's two verses in there. Usually when there's missing verses, I like to go to them and say, look, they should not have removed these verses because it tells more of the story. In this case, it actually doesn't help tell much more of the story. It just gives the idea that John the Baptist was a rabble-rouser. And the verse sort of started that way with the things that he was saying. So it's more of that. It doesn't help the story too much. So here's a case where not reading those two verses, it works fine for the sermon and in general, I guess. But the part that I want to focus on is where it says, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. That's the event. That's the out of the ordinary. That's the part that's recorded in some way in all four Gospels. I want to show you how it is in Matthew. In Matthew 3, second part of verse 16 and 17, it says, suddenly the heavens were opened with him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Matthew version is a little less story development, I don't know, maybe it's a little more poetic feeling, like alighting. Who says alighting? A dove was alighting. Cindy, you say alight? Do you really say alighting? Like I was alighting the door, or does anybody use alighting in regular conversation? Descending, alighting. It's very poetic, sort of romantic view there. The description, everything sort of happens suddenly. So it's a bit more action-packed than the Luke way. In John, well, here's what it says in John. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. That's it. That's the baptism in John. It's a flashback. That's very mysterious or science fiction-y. You know how the movies with the flashbacks, you keep going back and you're lost, and did this happen or when did that happen? Who likes flashback movies? Several years ago, now it's several years ago, but remember Lost? It was like an entire series built on flashbacks and flash forwards, and then in the last season, flash sideways, right? I think that's what it was. But a flashback, the poetic romantic stuff is still there, but it's a little more clouded. I think it makes it more interesting. It's not super action-y, but then there's Mark, the best of the Gospels. I love Mark. Here's the powerful description from Mark 1, second verse of chapter, or verse 10, and then verse 11. He saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Just one little sentence there. The heavens were torn apart, not the heavens opened. They were torn apart. That's action movie stuff. It's an astounding and sort of memorable image. It makes the voice coming from heaven seem to be a little bit louder, I think, and stronger. It makes the dove descending from heaven maybe seem a little less soft. The heavens were torn apart, and a dove came down, and there was a voice. You know, it just, maybe it's just me, but that's the way that I sort of see Mark. I know I'm biased. I like the earthy description of Jesus' baptism more than any other, but I also recognize that the descriptions from the other Gospels bring the scene to life for other readers. But then I wonder, what is all this spectacle about? Because there are things that happen in all four of the Gospels. There's this description, this thing that I like from Mark that is sort of like an action movie. But here's the things that happen in this scene. The heavens are opened. The Holy Spirit descends in bodily form as a dove. And a voice comes from heaven and says, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. That's the spectacle. So the heavens were opened. There's something significant going on there because the heavens being opened meant that a divine word from God was coming. It's not just here in the Gospels, but it's in other places in the Bible. In Ezekiel, just Ezekiel 1:1. In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the river Chebar, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. That's God's going to speak, so the heavens are open. In Isaiah 64:1, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. So the heavens being opened is significant for us, you know, as we read it, but it's significant for the first readers because they're thinking, this is a huge thing, the heavens being opened, whether they're torn apart or just opened, it's a big thing. And then the Holy Spirit descending in bodily form as a dove. In Genesis 1, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And wind is, in Greek it's pneuma, now I forgot what it was in Hebrew, but wind and spirit are equivalent, they're the same word. And then in Isaiah 11, a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So the Spirit will rest on him, the Holy Spirit, just like the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And then after Jesus' time on earth, it was the Spirit rushing in at Pentecost that ushered the beginning of the church. We'll get to Pentecost in May this year. Acts 2, 1 and 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. The way that The Spirit's arrival on Jesus is described as being like or in the bodily form of a dove. It shows that this world-altering episode isn't about domination. I know that the Spirit comes in and it's a rush, but in the form of a dove, it's about peace, because a dove is a peaceful symbol. A voice came from heaven and said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." That line is significant for similar reason as the Spirit, but a little bit more, because the voice from heaven means a voice of God. God saying that Jesus is the chosen one, beloved, carries a sense of being chosen and also being most dear. But it's like, you are the one. He's the one who was meant to bring good news to the poor, the release of the captives, to give sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. That's who Jesus is. So what does it all mean for us? Let me describe Jesus' baptism again. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened." Now we get to the children's sermon. You were wondering, how is it going to come in, right? How many listened to the children's sermon? What was the title of it? And what did I just say here? "Now when all the people were baptized," that short phrase there, all the people. See, Jesus was and is in support of, in solidarity with all the people. He didn't get baptized in a private audience. He didn't go around and speak with just one person, even though he did have private audiences with people, but he was with all the people. The Spirit descending on him in the form of a dove, something I said indicated peace, right? It's also a reminder from the dove story in the Bible. Do you know what the dove story in the Bible is? You might think it's the story of the flood and Noah with the dove, and that there is a dove in there. But the dove book in the Bible, the dove story, it's Jonah. Jonah means dove. Symbol meant to remind the reader of God's unconditional love. We'll get to Jonah one day, but Jonah did the wrong thing, and God still got what God was going to do done and everything. And we always end the story with the people being saved. There's that other part of the story where Jonah's angry. He says, "Why didn't you destroy them? I'm angry at you for not destroying them." We'll get to that another time. You're going to probably read it before then now. Say, really? There's more to that part? The VeggieTales covers it a little bit. You can watch the Jonah story in VeggieTales. Jonah is angry in that. Jesus was baptized in solidarity with all the people. Jesus is the friend to the ones who keep messing up. Jesus is the one who brings hope. Jesus is the one who brings forgiveness and restoration and healing. Jesus brings life and love to the ones who have been forgotten, marginalized, exploited, rejected, and hated. Jesus being baptized while all the people were being baptized shows that he was with all the people and still is with all the people. Jesus' baptism reminds us that God's promise of love isn't just for those who have a special key or some secret knowledge. It isn't. Jesus' baptism reminds us that as Jesus is, so we are also beloved. Because Jesus was with and is with all the people. And God is well pleased. Amen.